This is WSFI Spotlight, a conversation with Catholics living in the light.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of WSFI Spotlight. I'm Bill Snyder, your host, and today on this episode of WSFI Spotlight, my guest is John Salza. John is a cradle Catholic, and in law school, he was recruited to join the Freemasons. And he is still a practicing lawyer, but he is no longer a Mason. He is now a Catholic apologist and author, and he is author of two books, including Why Catholics Cannot Be Masons and Masonry Unmasked. His website is johnsalza.com. John, thank you for being with me again here on this episode of WSFI Spotlight.
Bill, thank you for having me.
So in the first episode, we went through some of the personal journey through the opening initial stages of Masons, but there's so much to uncover on this topic, we have to do two episodes. So I want to ask you about the progression of these stages through the Masons.
Yeah, where we left off, Bill, was the man was at the Masonic altar. He's blindfolded with a noose placed around his neck, and he's required to swear the Masonic oath and seal it with a blood curse, a self-curse, effectively saying he's worthy of mutilation and death if he would ever violate his Masonic obligation. At that point, he is what is called brought to light. And the worshipful master, who is the principal officer of the lodge, goes through scripture. Again, this is why it's so deceptive. You hear the scriptures read frequently throughout rituals. He says, you know, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light, and there is light. And at that point, the Mason's blindfold, which they call a hoodwinked, is removed. And he sees his brothers in the lodge, usually dressed in suits or tuxedos, and he is educated about the doctrines of Freemasonry. One of the first things he learns, and one of the first things he actually sees, is that his hands are placed on the Holy Scriptures, where he swore his oath, and he sees the square and compasses on the Scriptures, which you know are symbols of Freemasonry. Well, what that really means is that just as the square and compass symbolize certain moral principles in Freemasonry, sure, Masonry also holds the book, the Bible, as only a symbol. And notice that the Masonic symbols are on top of the Scriptures. So it's effectively communicating to the man that that really isn't the Word of God. It's just a symbol of Masonic principles, however you want to interpret them for yourself. Now, after that happens, the doctrine kind of ramps up because you've first heard about prayers to deity, you've taken a blood oath, you've learned that the scriptures are symbolic. Next, and I'm cutting out parts, but the most important parts is the man is presented his Masonic apron. Now, people are familiar with the white aprons that Masons wear. And again, this is in the first degree, the entered apprentice degree. The man is presented his entered apprentice apron, and he's told, quote, the apron symbolizes, and I'm quoting, the purity of life and conduct, which is essential necessary to your gaining admission into the celestial lodge above, where the supreme architect of the universe presides. Now, that comes from the rituals. Now, what it's telling you is Masonry has doctrines not just about God, but about salvation, about redemption. It's telling the man that if you live a life of Masonic virtue, a spotless life, which the white apron represents, you're going to heaven. And by the way, it doesn't matter if you believe in Jesus Christ or are a member of his church. As long as you're a good Mason, you're going to heaven. So you see, this is where the conditioning process starts in. Funny names for God, symbols for heaven, doctrines about heaven, and so forth. That's where it crosses the line. Very briefly, and this theme continues in the next two degrees. In the next degree, the fellowcraft degree, the Mason is required to bow in unison with his brothers to that letter G that hangs in the eastern quadrant of the lodge. That letter G symbolizes the God of Freemasonry. And in English-speaking lodges, the letter G is used because it's for God, but also geometry. Remember, we talked about Masonry being a religion of naturalism. Masonry believes that one can know truths about God only through reason and through the senses, what they say the geometrical perfection of the universe. So that letter G represents the God of Freemasonry. How do you know about the God of Freemasonry? Through your senses, through the geometrical perfection of the universe. Finally, I want to mention the third degree. This is where it crossed the line for me and where I knew that there was really, I had to get out. Doctrinally was what the problem was. The third degree, unlike the first two degrees, where there also is an oath and there's teachings about morals and doctrine and salvation, in the third degree of Freemasonry, another rite, and it's a death, burial, and resurrection rite. in this rite, and I know people can't believe when I tell them that what goes on here, but the Mason is caused to play someone named Hiram Abiff. Now, he's a scriptural character. He worked on King Solomon's temple. But the Masons admit there's no historical. This is not an historical story. This is simply something that they made up. The long story short is the Mason is symbolically murdered in the lodge and raised to life. So even though you've sworn your oath, a blindfold is put on you again. Okay, you're escorted around the lodge. You're accosted by three Masons, Jubalah, Jubalo, and Jubalum. They're demanding of you the secrets of a master Mason. This is all part of the story. And then it leads up to them actually killing you. And what literally happens in the Masonic Lodge is while you're blindfolded, you're hit over the head with a padded setting maul, it's called. It's a large hammer, and this is really happens. I was hit over the head. I was knocked off my feet, all 175 pounds of me at the time. I was knocked off my feet, and I was caught in a large sack by the brothers. And now, this is something that just takes you by complete surprise. You have no idea what this is about. You're told to lie down. You stay down there. This is all part of it. You're buried then. All these wood scraps were put all over me, okay? And again, there's a lot more that goes on to the lodge, but to cut to the end, you're reinterred. The Masons discover the grave. King Solomon sends a search party. They gather around the grave. The blindfold's taken off. You're laying on your back. You're seeing all the Masons above you. And they first make what's called a Masonic hailing sign of distress, which is, "O Lord, my God, is there no help for the widow's son?" A prayer of salvation is saved. And then the man is raised up, he says, from a dead level to a living perpendicular. And then after that, they tell you that this exemplifies Masonry's belief in the doctrine of the resurrection of the body and the immortality of the soul. Now, does that sound like a fraternity to you, or does it sound like a religion? It's a religion. It's a religious cult. And the deception is resurrection of the body is an article of the Catholic faith. Well, I can try to rationalize that this is Catholic, but if you go back to the first degree ritual, what says in who do you put your trust, it doesn't matter what faith you have. It doesn't matter what God you believe in. Masonry is imprinting upon you its own religious beliefs, the doctrine, the Masonic doctrine of bodily resurrection. One last point on that. I didn't know this, and I've never seen this written anywhere, but in my personal studies, when I went back and looked at that ritual and meditated upon it, I mentioned this grand hailing sign of distress, which is what they make right before they raise the candidate up. Mm-hmm. It says, "O Lord, my God," this is universal, "O Lord, my God, is there no help for the widow's son?" Now, what does that mean? I've concluded that that means, is there no help for the widow's son? Who's the widow? The widow is Our Lady. The son is our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a mockery and satanic parody of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ himself. So they're saying, "Oh Lord, my God, is there no help for the widow's son?" In other words, Christ is a fraud. He's not the real resurrection. Masonry has the real truth. Then they raise the candidate up and say, this testifies to Masonry's belief in the resurrection of the body and the immortality of the soul. Now, of course, if somebody would have told me that going in, I would have never, of course, ever joined. But even Catholic men have not comprehended the full significance of this. They simply rationalize it by saying, that sounds like a Catholic doctrine to me, and that's good enough. It's not. It's anti-Catholic.
And I just want to draw on this point. Many men maybe feel uncatechized enough to fall deceptive to this. What were some of the things that the bells and whistles that went off maybe from your being a practicing Catholic your whole life? Did that help you in discerning that? Was there something that just went, "Oh my gosh, this can't be right"?
There's no question it helped discerning it. I mean, remember, I was Catholic going in, right. And just as a personal aside, I don't like making this personal, but I will say this. I began praying the rosary as a Mason daily, so I've been doing it now for 20-plus years. And I was begging Our Lady, actually, during my time as a Freemason to help me discern if this was right, because the very first day of that moment of my initiation, when they told me to take off my crucifix and my wedding ring, and they put a spear in my chest, and they told me that we're going to pray to deity, and they told me that the white apron represented what I needed to do to get eternal life. All that hits you in one night. You go back home, and I was laying on my bed trying to fall asleep, reeling about what did I just hear? It just happened so fast. What did I hear? Mm-hmm. So I began praying the rosary to Our Lady, immediately turning to her, and of course she's the one that led me out, that helped me discern the evils behind these things.
Incredible. And so obviously you encourage Catholic men by and all people by really reflecting on their faith and deepening their own faith. They can get out of this.
We live in a society right now where we're imbued with these principles of indifferentism, that it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you're a good person. That's the problem, because that is what the culture tells us. Just be a good person. It doesn't matter what you believe. Well, the shed blood of Jesus Christ is the only way we get to heaven. Our Lord said, nobody comes to the Father but by me. Now, that sounds unpolitically correct, and that's right, it is, but that's the truth. And so for those who are living in an environment where it's just be a good person, not going to judge you, you don't judge me, they really can fall prey to these principles that feeds right into what society's living to this day. How much of an intolerant are you to say, well, there's no salvation outside of Christ in the Catholic Church, right? I mean, right. You say that, you're looked upon as somebody that's not with it.
Right, and these principles are perpetuated by the Masons. Right, so they're not only taking prey to people who are weak in this area of catechesis, but then what they're doing is they're also promoting the culture to continue that further. Correct?
Yes, and what happens is Masonry then becomes their substitute religion, because if they're indifferent to begin with and they start getting involved in the rituals of Freemasonry, that becomes their religion, because they say, well, I'm really doing something extra. I'm doing something special. I'm no longer indifferent. I'm actually pleasing God through my practice and participation in Freemasonry. And it has just the opposite effect, because while Masonry tells you that you can believe whatever you want, the Church says, no, no. Christ gave us his revelation. You come to the Father only through him.
Well, we do have to take a short break here on WSFI Spotlight. You are listening to the voice of John Salsa. He is a Catholic apologist and author. He has authored two books on the Masons, Why Catholics Cannot Be Masons, and Masonry Unmasked. It is a wonderful conversation. We're going to continue our conversation right after this break. Don't go anywhere.
Hello, my name is Mother Mary David. I'm a Sister of Charity of Our Lady Mother of the Church from Baltic, Connecticut. I think Catholic radio is really important in the world today because it offers an opportunity to bring God's message to a world that really is starving for that message. So many people are taken up with so many things that are materialistic, and the hunger in their soul is left empty. Catholic radio helps to satisfy that hunger.
WSFI is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community, but we only can do that with your financial help. Please take a moment now to donate online at WSFIradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. That's P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Are you retired or near retirement? Do you want to keep a larger amount of your assets in a safe place with guaranteed interest rates to protect yourself from a huge market swing? Are you amazed at how low the interest rates are at your bank? If you said yes to any or all of those questions, you may want to call me, Matt Tomlinson, at Catholic Financial Life to discuss our guaranteed fixed rate annuities. Call 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288. Products not available in all states.
The Holy Family Catholic Bookstore is blessed with the opportunity to participate with WSFI Catholic Radio in the new evangelization. Holy Family is your local resource for books, CDs, and DVDs from Catholic Answers, Ignatius Press, and all of the other fine publishers featured on Catholic Radio. Holy Family also has the area's largest selection of baptism, communion, and confirmation gifts. Holy Family Catholic Bookstore is located at 9249 Old Green Bay Road, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. More information is available on Facebook.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this episode of WSFI Spotlight. I'm Bill Snyder. Today, my guest is John Salsa. He is a Catholic author and apologist and a former Mason, talking about his journey through the Masons. And you left us off with this third rite of Masonry. So I want to just finish off the story and tell me a little bit about the last two or three portions of this.
Sure. So after a man becomes a Master Mason, and remember that culminates in the death, burial, and resurrection rite of the Hieramic legend, it's called, of the third degree, he is now a full-fledged Master Mason. And Masons say that that's the highest as you can go. However, there are degrees numerically higher than the third degree. A man at that point has the option of either joining what's called the York Rite or the Scottish Rite. It's most common in the northern jurisdiction here, where we are in the United States, to join the Scottish Rite. And the Scottish Rite confers the 4th through the 32nd degree. They have an extremely elaborate temple here in Milwaukee. They do this throughout the country. And there is a class, usually maybe 15 to 20 men, that will be inducted to receive their 32nd degree. When I went through, it was typically a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, where you either would witness or participate in all the rituals. So it is a weekend program. You either sit in an arena-like setting and watch the Masons conferring the degrees upon each other, or sometimes participate in those. I can tell you that there was some very, very interesting rituals that I witnessed, and this continued me to further investigate and ultimately leave the lodge. One of the degrees, they came out with hosts and wine, and they say, "We're sealing our Masonic covenant around the altar." Now, again, as a Catholic, you're saying, wow, is this a mockery of the Eucharist? Well, of course it is. Okay, all this led to my absolute, utter, ultimate rejection of it. Sure. But again, talk about fraternity that's actually having a communion service in its rituals. After the Scottish Rite, then, sometimes a man goes up and joins the shrine. Okay, now the proper title for the shrine is the Ancient Arabic Order Nobles of the Mystic Shrine, A-A-N-M-O-S. In shrine ritual, they bring those letters out, and they rearrange them on the stage, and when you rearrange those letters, it says A Mason. So the fundamental bond of all Shriners is that they're Master Masons. They all have to be Master Masons, okay? And they emphasize that this is a Masonic organization. In fact, in the Shrine, we talked about the oaths that one must swear, and in the Scottish Rite, every degree has an oath and a similar symbolic blood-curdling penalty. In the Shrine, in my experience, and this is, again, throughout North America, they brought out the Quran. And you're actually required to swear the oath on the Quran, and you swear that in that particular penalty, you swore that you would be worthy to have your eyeballs slit with a 3-inch blade and your feet flayed and walk on the hot sands of the sea. That's what all Shriners swear on the Quran or on the Bible, as the case may be. Now you're wondering why they use the Quran. Are they making fun of the Quran? Because that really wouldn't be Masonic, would it, to make fun of another religion? No, they're simply saying that just like the Bible, the Quran is just another symbol. It's whatever you want it to be. It's not whatever you want to believe. Is your own truth. It's indifferentism. And so you have the 3 degrees, you have the Scottish Rite or the York Rite, and then you have the Shrine. Now, the Shrine is very deceptive because they appear to do a lot of good for the community. They have the Shrine circus parades, they wear the red fezes, they sell the onions at Kmart and all this and that, but they're all high-ranking Masons. They're all bond into this blood-curdling covenant of Freemasonry, and that's why the Church has also condemned all those bodies. The Church calls them the auxiliary bodies of Freemasonry, also come under the Church's condemnation.
Excellent. This is so enlightening and incredible. I want to ask you just about you mentioned toward the end there, just about the Scottish Rite, the Masons will do with the fezes and all. They run these hospitals, they sponsor these hospitals, as you were saying off the air. Can you just tell us a little bit about that and what somebody does when they're looking for a hospital?
Well, they sponsor them. I mean, they pay a fee to the hospitals to put their names on it, but they're not running the hospitals, and the money that goes to the shrine doesn't go to the hospitals, okay? That's a facade. No one's arguing that a non-Catholic can't do some natural good in the world, okay? And so Freemasons, just like Mormons, just like Muslims, just like Hindus and everybody else, they can do some natural good. Nobody's disputing that. But the fact of the matter is that's a sponsorship that has drawn a lot of people to the Shriners because they think that it's doing such good for the community, and the reality is it's nothing more than a sponsorship. Okay. And that's not relevant to the fact that in their rituals they deny the exclusive claims of Jesus Christ and the Catholic Church. I mean, that's a fact. And it's not me just saying this. People have publicly documented the fact that the Shriners are their own biggest charity. In my books I've written, I've cited articles that have revealed that, you know, 98% of the money that goes to the Shrine goes to their lodges, their costumes, their alcohol, their meeting halls, and everything else. And so it's a facade is what it is.
So somebody donating to a hospital directly may be okay, but not someone directly donating to the Shriners.
If you're going to support the hospitals, donate to the hospitals directly, yes.
Excellent. I want to maybe shift focus a little bit and talk about Masonry in the church, or if it's possible that there is some infiltration into the into the church with this, and what are some of the results of that?
Well, I certainly believe, because Our Lady has warned of this, that Masons have infiltrated the church. She appeared at Quito, Ecuador in the end of the 17th and beginning of the 18th century, and she said that Masonry would penetrate the church in the middle of the 20th century. Okay, and that's really where the crisis started after Vatican II, where we had a lot of confusion about whether the church was actually changing the way she was teaching or she was just changing the expression of the teaching. But that's what Our Lady warned about. And the church has been very clear. This is what's so beautiful about the church. God's not going to let the church ever bind Catholics to error. So even if one can say that Masons have infiltrated the church and have tried to change things within the church, the official teachings of the Catholic Church have always remained the same. I mentioned all of these papal condemnations. Well, the latest one came under the pontificate of John Paul II, which was actually authored by Cardinal Ratzinger, in which, and it's called the Declaration Against Masonic Associations. I think it was November 26th of 1983 it was released. And in that document, the Pope, Cardinal Ratzinger, future Pope, said that anyone who joins a Masonic association is in a state of grave sin and cannot receive Holy Communion. Now, that means mortal sin, because you cannot receive Holy Communion if you're in mortal sin. Now, the Church rarely goes that far. I mean, this was a document issued by the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith warning Catholics that objectively, if you are a member of a Masonic association, you cannot receive Holy Communion. You're cut off from the life of grace in the Church. And that means that you're not part of the Church, because it's a sin against the faith. So that is, and always has been, and always will be, the official teaching of the Catholic Church.
I want to ask you about the associations with church organizations. For instance, Knights of Columbus maybe having a fish fry or something social with the Masons. Is that, in your opinion, permissible according to church teaching? Should it be done? How do we put an end to that?
Well, it's a scandal that should not be done at all. And when the popes have spoken about Freemasonry, I'm talking about Leo XIII and Pius IX and on and on and on, they said that one cannot have any association with Freemasonry. That doesn't mean just joining its lodge and going through its rituals and reciting its oath. It means any association whatsoever. And that's because of the scandal that it brings. It leads souls to believe that Masons are good and upstanding and that Catholics can join them. And that's why those associations have to be prohibited.
There may be some listeners out there that are Catholics and Masons. What do they do about it?
Well, we have to speak out against it, and unfortunately, a lot of this is a result of the ignorance of Catholics who have had poor formation, who don't see what the Church has said, and who are deceived by the secular world. And we're trying to do our part to correct that, but that's the problem. And we can actually point to the bishops and the priests who aren't talking about these things from the pulpit, unfortunately. Why? Because they've been imbued in this Masonic philosophy over the last 50 years. And so it requires knowledge, right? I mean, faith is an act of the intellect, of the truths that God has revealed. It starts there. It starts with our knowledge and with our faith. And we need to then communicate that faith publicly by showing what the Church teaches. And now, I mean, with modern means of communication, we have all the information that we need. We can watch the rituals on YouTube. We can read the rituals on websites like mine, and then we can look what the Church says, and there's the answer.
Yes. So specifically, maybe there's actually somebody listening right now that wants to get out of Masonry, that's a Catholic. How do they renounce that?
In the sacrament of confession. That is sufficient. They go to the sacrament of confession. They're absolved of their sin. They have to say that they've sworn the oath. They have to say that they've sworn this blood curse, and that should be sufficient. It's good if they'd have a spiritual director, because a lot of times men suffer certain spiritual maladies from these oaths. There's a lot of oppression. Demonic spirits, if you're ready to renounce Freemasonry, get ready for a battle. You are going to be in a battle, because the devil doesn't want you to renounce Freemasonry, because he's got you at that point. Mm-hmm. So it is the sacrament of confession. What I did, and what I would recommend also, though, is that they write a letter to the lodge explaining why you're leaving. And why is that? Because at least under the Grand Lodge of Wisconsin laws, I knew that that letter had to be read in open lodge. And in most lodges, they have to read the letter of resignation. So you know what? You want to stage there. You want to tell them exactly, make it short and sweet. I have a sample resignation letter in here, which is similar to what I used, although I kind of wrote a tome. I don't think they read all of mine. But that's what I would do. Sacrament of confession, write a letter to the worshipful master, have it read in open lodge. And you know what? The brothers who are in that lodge, if they hear that, they might say, you know what? I'm having the same type of struggle.
John, this has been so much fun and informative and just inspiring here, listening to you talk and really just be able to enlighten all people about the dangers and the spiritual issues that are with the Masons and all kinds of things. I want to ask if we have maybe a few minutes left for questions. We do have a studio audience here, so are there any questions for John?
Thank you, John. I'm wondering, how prevalent is this? Is this a big issue or a little issue in our culture? Is it one out of every 20 million people that are Masons, or is it something bigger than that?
My personal opinion, and people may be upset about this, my personal opinion is there's more Masons in the Vatican than there are outside the Vatican in the Catholic Church. I would say that it is a problem because Masonry, even though numbers have been going down, they continue to attract Catholic men. They continue to try to get Catholic representation in their ranks. And so it is a big problem. And in fact, it's a problem also for them, too, because the numbers have gone down. That's why they were giving financial incentives to recruit men when I was involved. But that's why shows like this are so important. Who's ever listening to this, the information is there. The information is there for the public.
Exactly. Any other questions?
Thank you again. What was the turning point in your life to make you want to really get out? And were there any consequences, like business-wise or physical or anything like that?
Well, the turning point started the moment I entered into the Masonic Lodge and I was received on that sharp knife and heard deity and salvation and doctrines. That's really when I started to turn right away. Couldn't turn the full 180, though. It took me a while. But it was, I think, the doctrine of the resurrection of the body. When I went through that and went back to the ritual and actually saw the words resurrection of the body, it was a very simple formula for me. A, Masonry believes in resurrection of the body, but B, Masonry doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. So right there, it's an incompatibility. And that was sufficient for me to say, hey, ultimately, doctrinally, that's where I had to leave the lodge. Yes, there's been threats, there's been actions. I still continue to suffer, and I don't care to go into the particulars, but at the same time, I know that this is the right thing to do.
Absolutely. John, thank you so much for spending some quality time here with us on WSFI Catholic Radio. This has just been such an inspiration talking to you and an important conversation for faithful Catholics living out in the world to know about this evil, to know about this danger. And thank you for all you're doing to spread the word and expose this great evil.
Thank you so much, Bill, for having me.
Just want to give you the books and the website one more time, Why Catholics Cannot Be Masons and Masonry Unmasked. John's website is simple, johnsalza.com, johnsalza.com. We encourage listeners to visit for more information. There is certainly much more than an hour worth of content to discuss this very important topic. We encourage you to listen, to read, and to always fight the good fight. Thank you once again to John. I'm Bill Snyder. This has been an episode of WSFI Spotlight. Until next time, from all of us here, thank you so much, and God bless.
This has been WSFI Spotlight. For more information on this or any other program, email info@wsfiradio.org.
Hi, I'm Doug Berry from Life on the Rock. The importance of Catholic radio cannot be underestimated. This is a medium that can reach into the hearts and the minds and the vehicles of individuals at any given time or day. This is one of those ways that we can reach hearts and souls that are hurting and that need to know the grace, the strength, the healing power of Christ.
WSFI is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community, but we only can do that with your financial help. Please take a moment now to donate online at WSFIradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. That's P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Oh my God, I firmly believe that you are one in three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I believe that your divine Son became man and died for our sins, and that he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe these and all the truths that the Holy Catholic Church teaches, because you have revealed them, who can neither deceive nor be deceived.
This is Joe Scheidler, the National Director of the Pro-Life Action League, headquartered in Chicago. I'm asking you to please to pray today for every woman facing a problem pregnancy that she will not choose abortion.